Hallelujah. Glad to have some of our people back that we've been missing. We hope we don't have to miss you anymore. We love you. We just want to embrace everybody. Brother Toole sang that touching song. It made me think about a song that was popular several years ago, "Wish We'd All Been Ready." Today, I'll read a passage from St. Matthew chapter 1 concerning Jesus. I read the news headline yesterday afternoon, and these experts said since the beginning of humanity, ever how long they determined that to be, there have been five distinct, destruction. Help me out with that word. They would became extinct, done away with. Is that the five occasions through humanity that has been total extinction? Nobody left. And these experts say that we are now on the verge of the sixth one. I am not worried one bit in the world, because before the extinction comes, I'm gone. I've got my ticket dipped in blood, stamped on it, paid in full. Redeemable at the cross of Jesus Christ. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Extinction. I got it. Five from the beginning of humanity until now. I don't know where they get the data from, but it's causing a stir. And these global warming environmental people, they need to go around the United States this week and check the temperature, because there's some suffering in the United States this weekend for weather. Matthew chapter number 16 and verse number, I mean chapter number 1 and verse number 16. Jacob beget Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. From David unto the carrying away into Babylon are 14 generations. From the carrying away into Babylon unto Christ are 14 generations. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thy son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. I want to make some comments basically about Jesus. And then we'll have an altar invitation and a prayer. Father, somehow or other I feel a restlessness in my spirit. I feel a cry from a human heart that says, I've tried this and I've tried that and I've tried the other, and I've come away empty on everything. But this morning, you have provided an opportunity in which no one needs to leave dissatisfied or unsatisfied. I pray, Holy Ghost, that you would put the squeeze upon every life, from the pulpit to the back door, that is wrestling against you, every life that is restless, that is in the fog land, we pray that you would clear their mind up and let them know absolutely without doubt that eternity is real, hell is real, and the lake of fire is real. Let Christmas be this year the time of ingathering. In Jesus' name, amen. People have short memories when it comes to superstars. Elvis, you know, several years ago, but there's a young generation, when you say Elvis, it doesn't mean a thing to them. Babe Ruth, people that follow baseball, they speak his name, but it dwindles down. People are not interested. Heroes are short-lived. They're short-lived. Am I talking to you? They soon fade away from the scene and they're gone into history. But over 2,000 years ago, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law. And he's a star above all stars. He's a God above all gods. He's the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to acknowledge him. And this morning, as time zones go from east to west, all day long today, there will be churches, and I applaud it. I'm not criticizing. There will be churches that will be gathering in, acknowledging this birthday. They will sing songs about, oh, how I love Jesus. They will pray prayers, and they will add in the name of Jesus. They would do all things, take the offering up, all things will center around Jesus Christ. It will not revolve around the choir, the pastor, the music, or whatever. It will be around Jesus Christ. He is the hub, and we're the spokes in the rim. All around this world, there'll be people opening their Bible and teaching and preaching the glory of Jesus Christ. Convincing you that you need this gift. You can't buy it. You can't earn it. But if you're sitting here this morning wondering, what will I be getting this Christmas? The Word of God says that the gift of God is eternal life. And that's what you need more than you need anything on this earth. You need eternal life. You need to be, because you are eternal. You are eternal. Somewhere you will cross the line of this world and enter into the realm of the unknown as far as you and I are concerned. And you will never, ever cease to live. Your tabernacle, your body will cease to function. You will have a burial and you will go the course of the earth. But you, my friend, will not cease to exist. You cannot be destroyed. You cannot be killed. You cannot be aged out. You cannot be socialized out. You cannot be blackballed out. You are an eternal being. We need to understand that when we shake somebody's hand, we need to be quickened in our mind. This hand that I'm shaking, the power behind this hand will never cease to exist. It was conceived in somebody's womb at some point, and that's it. It will go through stages. It will go through ups and downs. It will go through variations. But it will never, ever cease to exist. If I shake hands with you, I'm shaking hands with an eternal human being. Am I right? See, that's what bothers us. Some people say when you die, you're extinct, and when you die, you're annihilated, you're burnt up, and when you die, this, that, and you're sleeping, soul sleep, and all that. The Word of God says that we die. When we die, we go to be with the Lord if we are saved. Not if we're Church of God members, not if we're Pentecostals, but if we're saved, we're going to go to be with the Lord. Amen? And if you're not saved, the Word of God says that you will hear the most dreaded words you'll ever hear in your life. Depart from me, I know you not, you workers of iniquity. Can I get a witness out there? Oh, why do you think, my friend, I don't have a note on this, but I'm pushing forward. Why do you think that we try to evangelize? Why do you think that we try to, you say, well, you're trying to put fear tactics. I would to God I could scare every one of you into the kingdom of God. Amen? Why do you think we push so hard in our songs and in our preparation? Why? It's because we want you to go to heaven. We want you to be right with God. Amen? Somebody said, that offends me. I'm not trying to offend anybody. I'm trying to be realistic to people. It is appointed unto man once to die. And after that, the judgment. That means you don't die. You just die physically, but you don't die spiritually. You continue to live. There was a man in Luke 16, a man in verse number 31. He died. And the Word of God says, in hell, he lift up his eyes. I know the interpretation of that. I know the swag that they put on that. I know that they try to explain it away. But the Word of God, Jesus didn't say there was, you know, there was a parable. He said there was a rich man. There was a beggar. Am I talking to anybody? And the beggar died and lifted up his eyes. He was in Abraham's bosom. And he was rejoicing. He was free, but he did not cease to exist. That's the point I'm trying to get at. He was eternal. He's in heaven today. Hundreds and thousands of years down the road, he's still, you say, I don't know about that. Well, the Bible bears out that he's eternal. And the Bible bears out, are y'all with me on this Christmas day? The Bible bears out that the rich man died. He didn't cease to exist. He didn't just put a rubber stamp and say, the end. There is no end. The book called Your Life does not have a closing chapter on it. Amen. And this rich man lifted up his eyes, being in torment. Father Abraham, sin light. He recognized. See, there's life beyond life. Am I talking to you? There's no such thing as ceasing to exist. There's no such thing as saying it's over. It is never over. It's never going to be over. It goes from one stage to the second stage to the third stage. But there's going to come a time when you will enter into the realm of what the Bible calls eternity. Lord, I don't know. I had none of this. I think God used two song to kind of get our hearts ready. Amen. That person seated beside you is going to spend eternity somewhere. How long is eternity? It never stops. It never stops. It's always there. Why do you think, I come back to my question, why do you think that we're concerned about you? Because we believe the Bible. We believe that the Bible means what it says and says what it means. We believe that the Word of God says, except you repent, you shall likewise perish. We believe that the Word of God says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. We believe the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We believe the Word of God in every verse and every passage. Amen? That's why we cry out to you. We give invitations. We say, stand and sing the song. And we pray that the Holy Ghost will cup his hands around your heart and put a squeeze upon you and will call you. Why don't you get saved? Hear me. What is it that's holding you back from being saved? Is it your friends? Is it your fellowship? Is it habits? Is it some bondage? What is it? Weigh it out, my friend. Hang it in the balance. Because we're not talking fairy tales to you. Hang it in the balance. This is the reason I'm not saved. This is the reason I should be saved. Let me tell you something right now. The positive thing, getting saved, far outweighs what holds you back. I had a man tell me in Washington, several years ago, a businessman, self-employed, prosperous, and I've become a good friend of his, close friend. He said, "I can't get saved." I said, "What do you mean you can't get saved?" He said, "I mean just what I said, I cannot get saved." "Why can't you get saved?" "Because the work that I'm in, I've done a lot of things dishonest. I've done a lot of things by hook and crook, and I'd have to straighten it out, and I just can't get saved." I said, "Let me tell you something." And he was my friend. I could speak bluntly with him. I said, "You're being lied to by the devil. You can get saved. If the Holy Ghost hasn't left you, you can get saved. And if you get saved, you've got a helper." Hello, church. If you get saved, there's one who stands beside you to help you make your crooked path straight, to help you make your wrongs right. Don't try to cross the bridge before you get. Or if you're seated here this morning, say, "I would get saved, but." I would get saved, but. Don't do that. Just come to the conclusion, I will accept Jesus Christ as my Savior, my Lord, and my Master, and I'll let Him guide me. Am I talking to anybody? Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah to God. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody worship Him. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we look at this, and people, why did Jesus come into the world? He didn't come in the world just to give a name. He didn't come into the world just to take your burdens. He didn't come in the world just to give you a better job, just to make life more comfortable. He came to save sinners. That's what the Bible says. Paul said, "Of which I'm the chief." He didn't come to make a reputation. He laid all that aside. He was God-man. Before He ever come to this earth, am I talking to anybody? Before He ever come to this earth, He was God. He was seated at the right hand of majesty. And the whole world lay in bondage, lay in darkness. And it was the time of fullness of Galatians 4:4, when the fullness of time had come. And I'll just paraphrase it. God looked at that son of His and said, "Something, the plan has got to be implemented. Salvation has got to be made available. Bulls and goats and lambs and rams don't do it anymore. There's got to be human blood. Man is redeemed by the blood. Man is redeemed by the blood. There's life of the flesh is in the blood." And God said, in so many words, when you put it together, something has got to be done. And the Son of God, coexistent, co-eternal with God, rose up. Cherubims and seraphims, angels and archangels, saints of God from the old era, all around. He rose up and He said, "I will fulfill the plan that was ordained from the foundations of the world." What do you mean? I will go down. I will lay aside my deity. Am I talking to you? I will lay aside my name. I will lay aside all the plans that you have, and I will go down. Because it's ordained, I must fulfill the Father's will. Well, He didn't come as a conqueror. He didn't have a Roman legion galloping with Him on horses. He didn't come as some statesman, some politician. He baffled. And see, that's what He's doing this morning. God is baffling your mind. The devil's telling you you got to do something strong and big and whatever. But God is saying, "I'll baffle your mind and tell you that you can repent and be saved." See, the devil tries to complicate it, muddy the water. The devil tries to say, "You got to do this, you got to come to church for you," all that kind of stuff. And God says, "No, if you will call on the name of the Lord, you shall be saved." You don't even have to come out from the pew up here. It can happen on your pew. It can happen by your pew. But God says, "If you're ashamed of me, in this sinful and adulterous generation, I will be ashamed of you when you stand before my Father." That's why we ask you to come out. Hold your shoulders back. Hold your heart up to God and say, "Look at me, world. I don't care what you say. I'm coming out." Oh, Lord, Shakara Bahaya. Give us the interpretation, Holy Ghost. Can the church say amen? Would you just pause for a second? Just pause for a second. I don't want to jump in and muddy the waters up. Oh, God. Somebody just raise your hand and say, Holy Ghost, have your way. Yekulama. Ho! He came as a baby in Bethlehem, in a horse trough or a donkey trough, a food feed trough. There was no room. He had to take the back seat. And for 2,000 years, he's been pushed into the back seat. For 2,000 years, he's been mimicked and mocked, joked about, trifled with. He's tolerated it. He didn't send you to judgment when you deserve judgment. He whispered to you on that song on the radio. He talked to you in that dream that you had. He tried to sway you, but you refused. He came, pushed you to the back seat. No room for him in the end. That's not just theory. 2,000 plus years down the road, the same verdict exists. No room for him in the human heart. Room for Christmas parties, champagne flowing, fornicating going on. Everything you can think about, there's room for it. But there's no room for the holiness of God. No room for the glory of God. No room for the demands of God. Open your heart up and find some little crevice over there and tuck him away. And pull him out next Christmas. No, thank you. It don't work that way. He was born. Listen to me good. He was born in a stable. Guess what stays in stables? Animals. He was born among animals. Can I tell you he's lived among animals for these 2,000 years? Two-legged. Cross-eyed. Backbiters, God haters, animals. They've slandered his name. They slurred his reputation. He walked among animals. You and I were one of them. We didn't love God. There was no embracing God in our heart. We held God in contempt. We were animals on our way to hell, bound by the natural instinct that I'll get mine or I'll walk all of you. Animals. But God took the animal instinct, the nature of ungodliness, of cruelty. God took it out. Put peace in your heart. Am I talking to you? Wherefore God has highly, man didn't exalt him. They do now, but they didn't then. Whether it be Herod's palace or whatever it was, Bethlehem, man didn't exalt him, but God hath highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name. I think of all the movie stars, the ball players, the superstars, the name is a blank in my mind, but there's one name that has priority. There's one name that has precedence. There's one name I say it with reverence. I say it with honor. I say it because I'm blessed to have the privilege to say it. He said to me, in my name, if you ask anything in my name, I love Emmanuel. I love wonderful, counselor, mighty God, Prince of Peace. But I love Jesus more. Jesus. Jesus. That was a popular name then. It was not a rare name. It was a very, it would be like John or Bill or Sue or whatever. It was a popular name. And God reached over into the bucket full of names and said, I've got to have a name. Hundreds of years early, God said, I've got to have a name to put on my son that would do something about it. And he reached up and he said, I know I will call his name Emmanuel, for he shall save his people from their sin. Being interpreted, God with us. But when we come to the New Testament, Emmanuel is changed into Jesus. And God took a common name, hello, and tacked it upon the Son of God and called him Jesus. Jesus did something for that name that could never be done by anybody else. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus came, born in that manger, took him to the temple for the circumcision ritual. Two old people were in that temple. Never gave up. What are you waiting for, Simon? What are you waiting for, Anna? One day, I don't know, it may be today, but one day there's going to come a baby through that door. I'm waiting for it. I'm expecting it. I'll know it when it happens because something in that baby's in me. And the witness of my spirit and that baby's spirit is going to agree. And I'm going to say, behold, this is the consolation of Israel. I've been waiting for this day. One of them walk in. And they got that baby. And the old man says, This is I've been waiting for this. This is the consolation of Israel. He's set for the rise and fall of many. A sword shall pierce his side. No hunky-dory stuff. No, he's going to be blessed, and he's going to have Mercedes and airplanes, and he's going to get you poor church people to buy him jet planes. No. Set for the rise and fall. A sword shall pierce his side. 12 years old. Are you going to give me just another? 12 years old. He goes to the temple as was his custom, just like he went to the synagogue. 12 years old. Where are you going? I've got Mary and Joseph, a caravan of people going to the temple. 3 days later, they're leaving. And somehow or other, they discover that Jesus is not among them. Boy, that's preaching there. How many services have I been through? How many services have you been through in this church when we go home and a few days later realize Jesus was not even around the building? They go back after a 3-day pilgrimage. I don't know about you, but I think I'd miss my child after. But they understand that he's not with them. Where did we leave Jesus? Where did we? Most of us leave him at church. We put our Bible on the dashboard for next Sunday. Some Bibles have got 200,000 miles on them. They go back to Jerusalem. Where did they find him? He's in the temple at 12 years old. Astonishing the scholars. Oh, wouldn't it have been nice to listen to that? 12 years old and baffling those who were learned doctors of the law. Where did you get such knowledge? You puzzle us. How come you're so smart? And he could have said, because I'm God. But he goes home. The greatest thing you can do for your child is take the option of church away from them and spank their hiney if they don't want to come. Take the option away from them because you're dealing with a human soul. Most of us in here, we went through the idea of, well, so-and-so don't have to go to church. I said, that's them. This is us. Are y'all with me? When it comes to a 10-year-old dictating whether he's going to go to church or not, you know who's going to win that battle. You're no competition for him. He's outsmarting you every time. But when he sees that you mean business and stand flat-footed because you're fighting for his soul, they go back and they get Jesus, and he's subject to Mary and Martha until he's 30 years old. I wonder, J. Vernon McGee in Psalm 69, he gave a comment on that. It was beautiful. He said, I was this prophesying. He said, I was the song of the drunkard. In Nazareth, and Mr. McGee said, what happened in his analysis, Jesus would walk down the street like any 12, any whatever age young person he was, and the people in the bar had heard the scuttlebutt, he's illegitimate. He Mary and Joseph, you know, and so that news got out, and Mr. McGee said, the psalm is in there, Psalm 69, I was the song of the drunkard. In other words, when I walked by, they were titillating, they were laughing at me. At 30 years old, he goes down to the River of Jordan, baptized, and begins 3.5-year ministry. Never a man spake like this. But listen, I'm closing up now. 33.5 years old, they corralled him in the Garden of Gethsemane. Tricked, lied, deceived. Took him to the judgment hall. All night long, they battered him around, had a trial. They crucified him. And they put him in a tomb, in a sepulcher. And on the first day of the week, Mary, the mother of Jesus, and other Marys, they went to find him, and he was gone. He was gone. 40 days later, he says to 500 people, "Why stand you?" The angel said, "Why stand you here gazing? This same Jesus." We're not. Churches don't build buildings and furnish them and get musicians and singers just to be religious. We believe this Bible. We believe, I don't know the depth of it. I don't know the story intimately like I wished I knew it in Luke 15. One herdsman, one shepherd had 100 sheep. You remember reading that? And one of them drifted away. Now, how much is that drift away worth? Are y'all hearing me? He drifted away. Oh, I got 99. Don't worry about that one. But something inside of the shepherd's mind said the 99 secure. They're okay. They can hang in there. But that one sheep is never going to get back to this fold unless somebody goes get him and brings him in. So the shepherd gets all ready and he goes out looking. How much is that sheep worth, Mr. Shepherd? You got 99, maybe they'll get lost. I'm trusting them that they're going to be safe. Well, why are you so obsessed? Because I watched this sheep, from this lamb, from the time it was born until now. I've got an attachment with this lamb. I will never. I've been too long traveling this road. I will never come to the point where I look at empty pews and say, well, that's just life. I look at people that miss church And it's not an ego thing. Something is wrong with their spirituality. And I grieve and I come down and I pray. And I try to contact. Because what is that sheep worth? It was worth 99 to this shepherd. His name shall be called Jesus. I'm closing. Today, this morning, Jesus gives you the greatest invitation of your life. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy household. Now, I don't know whether you were expecting red bows and blue ribbons. I don't know what you were expecting. I'm glad you came to church. And I'm glad to tell you that none of this was rehearsed, none of this was noted, none of this was... But somehow or other, de shakalo mokataya. Just raise your hand to the Lord just for a second. Would you stand with me? The musicians and singers are going to come. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you're saved and you know it, say amen. If you're saved and you know it, your life will surely show it. Isn't that true?